Job numbers this morning are fueling worries of a recovery in retreat.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon, in for Steve Chiotakis. The Labor Department is out with the latest on unemployment claims, and although fewer applied for benefits last week, applications remain stuck at high levels. It's downright discouraging. Add to that yesterday's dismal manufacturing data and disengagement planned by the Fed soon from its money printing policies, and it's enough to make investors diss the markets, to the tune of a 2% pullback on Wall Street yesterday. But why is their confidence up to now so quickly dissipated? Here's Marketplace's Gregory Warner.
Consumers aren't spending as much, and yesterday we learned that companies aren't producing as much. Factory output fell by the sharpest level since 1984. That news, combined with continuing reports about slow job growth and dropping house prices, has investors worried. They dump stocks and put their money into U.S. Treasuries, seen as safer in bad times. Nariman Baravesh, chief economist at IHS Global Insight, said the recent spate of bad news does not foretell a second recession, a so-called double dip, but just means that recovery is always a slog.
So it perhaps shouldn't come as such a big surprise that we have these fits and starts when it comes to growth. But I think there's nothing out there at this point anyway that would suggest we're headed into a true double dip. Slow growth, yes. Double dip, probably not.
By probably not, he put the chance at 1 in 4. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Another D word weighing on the markets is default. Moody's has cut Greece's credit rating again, putting chances for default on its debt at 50-50. Let's discuss this with bankruptcy consultant Jim Milstein, who recently left the Treasury Department after helping unscramble AIG's finances. Good morning.
Good morning.
Greece keeps denying it's going to default on its debt, but what's really going to determine that?
Greece at this point is dependent on the kindness of strangers. Public markets are unwilling to finance them anymore, and so they now depend on the kindness of the Eurozone members to help meet or fix their budget gaps. And last year in May, the European Union stepped in, but those efforts have proved insufficient. They're back at the well again, and in order to get through the balance of this year and next year, they need more money. And so if Greece defaults on its debt, it's really a crisis because European banks are heavily invested in the debt of the various sovereign nations.
How much do we have to worry about the dominoes falling?
I think it's a significant issue. It's not as direct a hit for the American economy and the American banking system as the residential mortgage crisis was. But the truth of the matter is the banking systems internationally are very much integrated and intertwined. And so our banks lend to German and French banks, which lend to Greek banks, which invest in Greek sovereign debt. So if they catch a cold, we're going to feel some of the consequences here in the United States.
You know, the global recovery is looking fragile enough in the last few days. How bad would a default be for the economy?
You know, look, economies are a function of the confidence people and participants in economies have about the future. If a major part of the banking system is threatened, it's not good news for us.
Jim Milstein is a former bankruptcy lawyer and former Treasury Department official. Thanks for your insights.
I appreciate the time.
The numbers in Europe are down again. Stocks there off around 1%. But let's try injecting a bit of hopeful news as Wall Street prepares to start its day. A handful of retailers beat sales expectations for May, led by a 7% boost for Macy's. File this one under your tax dollars at work. The government has just coughed up documents under a Freedom of Information Act request from the Smoking Gun website, and they show your Transportation Security Administration paid $2,350, a settlement, to a Texas woman. She had sued the TSA, complaining she was exposed when her blouse was pulled completely down at the Corpus Christi airport. She said one TSA agent joked that he was disappointed he had missed seeing it.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
In Atlanta today, Home Depot shareholders are voting on political spending. This grows out of a landmark Supreme Court ruling last year that the government can't stop companies from supporting political causes. But shareholders are a different story. Jim Burris reports from WABE in Atlanta.
Home Depot operates under 8 core guiding values, everything from excellent customer service to giving back to communities to fostering a respect for all people. But Julie Goodridge says Home Depot's political contributions are out of line with that last one.
If you're going to give to political candidates as a corporation, you better make doggone sure that those candidates uphold everything that your company stands for.
Goodridge is CEO of Northstar Asset Management, a Boston investment firm. Its portfolio includes Home Depot stock specifically because of the company's commitment to diversity. She says because shareholders own Home Depot, they should decide.
They were giving to candidates who were actively rolling back the rights of GLBT people in the states in which they did business.
Home Depot says choosing how to make political contributions is the role of executives, not shareholders. But the Securities and Exchange Commission disagreed, saying shareholders do have that right. Thus, today's vote. Home Depot is the first of what will likely be a long string of such votes. Bill Busby is an administrative law professor at Emory University.
Certainly other corporations might seek to challenge the SEC's ruling because it will act as precedent for other companies.
Even if shareholders vote to take control of political contributions, the measure is non-binding, meaning Home Depot executives could just ignore it. In Atlanta, I'm Jim Burris for Marketplace.
Finally, from today's Wall Street Journal comes a story that's a wake-up call for makers of those 5-hour energy shots, the caffeine-packed drinks popular with tired truckers and students amping themselves up to study. Seems they're finding a growing market with the over 60 crowd. Hey, the boomers certainly aren't babies anymore, but this is not your grandmother's Geritol. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Business news. It's not all banks, budgets, and bottom lines. At Marketplace, we believe it can be lots of things like...
So maybe you've heard of the Kardashians.
iPhone and iPad app.
Christian Dior.
Wine.
We fit Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
The NFL.
So whether you need news or the numbers or a good laugh, join us for Marketplace, the business show for the rest of us. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.